When inside the NRL, Anthony Seibold swings the axe. Two outside backs dropped from the top squad. But it gets worse. Find out which Bronco failed to finish training. Knights' David Clemmer finally faces his old team. But what does he really think of the Bulldogs? And we get a return date from injured Cronulla Shark Aaron Woods. Hello and welcome back to Inside the NRL. Well, there is plenty of news happening north of the border in Brisbane. How much patience should fans be giving Anthony Seibold? We'll get into that in just a little while, but first we do have an injury update. Michael, what is the latest with Andrew McCulloch?
Yeah, Andrew McCulloch failed to finish training today, Katie. Look, they haven't got the scans complete, yes, but the fear is that he suspected a medial ligament there. Could be 6 to 8 weeks for Andrew McCulloch. Not ideal for Brisbane, given the fact that they've started the season so poorly, and now obviously Anthony Seibold as well, wielding the axe with a couple of big names dropped to reserve grade this week. So poor timing for the Broncos.
Yeah, for sure. Jamie, what does that mean for the Broncos spine when now you've also looking at Andrew out for some time, if it's a medial?
Yeah, well, they've already got a young halfback who played his first game last week. So I think it puts a lot of more pressure on Anthony Milford to be able to step up and be the dominant playmaker and help these young guys through. Turpin will come into the side and the Brisbane forward pack as well. Let's not blame just the halves. Anthony Milford's the highest paid player there, so he gets a lot of the blame every time they lose, which is rightly so. It's what happens in our game. But the forwards need to get up there. And this weekend's crucial against the Manly side. That will absolutely give you nothing. The Brisbane forwards need to stand up.
Yeah, OK. And Jake Turpin, obviously, he only played 2 NRL games in 2018. Then who have we got coming in to replace? Jake will come in to replace, but then in the halves, you've got Jake, one game.
And Sean O'Sullivan's waiting in the wings. I thought they may have given him a crack first, but the pressure's all on Anthony Milford this week to come out and have one of those games that we remember.
Yeah, and Jermaine Osako and also James Roberts are looking at being dropped this week.
Yeah, look, it's taken, 8 weeks now. We're in this situation. They're in dire straits, the Broncos. James Roberts and Osaka didn't train with the Broncos main group today. We're talking about a Kiwi international and a New South Wales origin player dropped. And to be fair, they haven't started the year well, but this is a team we all expect to be challenging for a title. And here they are. We're talking about with James Roberts dropped, Osako dropped. We've got Cody Nikorima shipped off mid-season. We've got McCulloch down injured. These forwards, we're talking that they can't find any consistency. Well, it's all gone pear-shaped pretty quickly at the Broncos.
Jamie, is it fair to say that Anthony Seibold has a bit of a mess there, and is it up to him to fix it or is it up to the players?
A bit of a mess. It's a huge mess at the moment. Look, I think when you go up there, you sign a 5-year deal, and off the back of what we saw last year, they got rid of Wayne Bennett because they thought they'd reached their ceiling, and this Anthony Seibold was the man to come in and get this group to fulfil that potential and possibly win a championship this year. So it's a huge mess at the moment. When you talk about guys getting dropped off, being in that position, sometimes you fall out of form, and I know that James Roberts has had a slow start to the year compared to last year. Jermaine Osako probably pays the price for being on that edge as well, but they'll be back. They'll play some time in reserve grade, and they'll be back in first grade very soon. But the whole Anthony Seibold mess, Michael, it just keeps getting worse.
Well, to me, it reeks of the fact they're going to start saying we need to rebuild, and that's not a roster you need to rebuild. They've rebuilt. They're at a position now where they should be challenging for a title. We said last year when Wayne Bennett was at that club that this is a top four team. And now we're in a position now where we're saying, oh, well, maybe we need to move play. The fact that Cody Nikorima was moved on, it was panic stations. Imagine that was this week now. You had Cody Nikorima still sitting there. You could have moved him to hooker. You could have given the young fella a chance eventually instead of rushing him in. I don't know what Brisbane are doing, to be honest with you. I'm concerned about where they're going. And if they're telling me they need to rebuild, I don't agree, because that's the team. Most coaches would love that roster. That's not a team that needs to be rebuilt. That's a team that has been rebuilt.
Jamie, do you think that team needs to be rebuilt? Do you think they deserve it?
Well, Brisbane aren't a club that rebuild.
No.
The rebuild is not a word mentioned, and I'm sure that the past Brisbane greats would be hating to hear that they're going to go through a rebuild under Anthony Seibold. I disagree with the Nikorima move. I think it was time. They needed to make a change. They're not going to move Anthony Milford off being on $1 million. And you get some of these young guys in and see what they can do under pressure, because they're probably not going to make the eight now. They're not the only big club struggling this year. I think the expectation of what we expected from them going forward, they thought it was just going to happen. Every week we're talking about this whiz-bang forward pack and how they're the best young forward pack. Well, they've come up against a couple of big forward packs, senior first graders, and they've just been handled. Like last week, that was a professional effort from hardened first graders against the young bulls of the NRL, and they schooled them.
I think Anthony Seibold is struggling with the expectation and the whole circus around what happened last year. I think he's struggling to deal with it, and he was schooled by Wayne Bennett last week. But I think there's a part of people starting to realise that perhaps last year at South Sydney, that the senior players in the squad helped coach that team as well. As much as as good a coach as Anthony Seibold is, I think you look at John Sutton, Sam Burgess, and GI was there at the time. A lot of experienced hard heads who've played a lot of football. He hasn't got that at Brisbane. These guys aren't coaching themselves. They need guidance. They need coaching. And unfortunately, I think he's seeing now that to have that lack of leadership, and he's struggling to deal with that in terms of coaching them.
Gents, we know that previously he was a teacher, so you'd think he'd naturally have that ability to communicate with the footballers. But do you think there's a problem there?
It doesn't always go like that. Sometimes players react differently. I think about myself and Anthony Griffin, who now work together. When we were a coach and player, we just didn't have that personal relationship. And when you have Wayne Bennett, he's brought a lot of these guys through and acted like a father figure to a lot of these guys. You get someone different who's a bit more, authoritarian, a school teacher comes in, and they've lost leadership. They've lost Sam Thaiday, Maguire. That's 500 games that they've lost in guys that can just chip people on the run instead of hearing Anthony Seibold's voice day after day, and it becomes tiresome. That's what it looks like. It's become tiresome at the moment, and we're only 8 rounds in.
Every coach that has followed Wayne Bennett has struggled.
This is the greatest coach of all time, mate. I don't know. Is that a statement?
I'm just saying it's all well and good saying we need change, right? But as you mentioned, all those things you pointed out that they've lost now with Wayne Bennett, no one's been able to succeed from after following
Wayne Bennett. Okay, so let me ask you this. Who's under pressure? Is Anthony Seibold under pressure, or is it the power players behind the board?
Both. Both. Both of them are involved in this. Anthony Seibold walking out on that deal with South Sydney when they wanted to keep him. He owed a lot to South Sydney. Anthony Seibold's a good person, but the way he left South Sydney has added enormous pressure to this job. And it's more than just coaching Brisbane. There's a whole circus there it's not going to go away because he's replaced one of the greatest of all time.
We know that rumours and all the criticism never usually goes away until a team starts winning games. But they play Manly on Friday night, so we'll have to look out and see. We know Manly have done pretty well to get those grudge matches over the line. Let's talk about the Bulldogs, though, now. Their football department, 4 of them have been let off. Michael, why and why now?
Look, the club's saying they need change. They need change. Obviously, the results there over the first 8 weeks of the season, they haven't gone too well, the Vogs. Not many expecting too much better, to be honest with you. But it's hard to cop. They need change, yet they stick with the coach. Now, I'm not saying the coach doesn't deserve to be a contract. Obviously, everyone has their own opinion on that. But if they need change, doesn't that start from the top? There's two changes of thought here. One is they're giving the coach more power and getting rid of people who were there before and bringing new people in. Or two, and this is the common thought that's been there for a while from a lot of people, is they want to give Chris Anderson more control. Now, we haven't seen which way it's going to pan out, but there's a lot of people who think Chris Anderson is moving things behind the scenes so he has complete control over the whole operation there. Andrew Farrer's been moved on. Gareth Holmes, one of Andrew Hill's good mates, has been moved on as well. So it'll be interesting how that plans out. I know a few of the players, one of the players questioned it when they were spoken to on the weekend after the game. So I think they were disappointed in the way they found out.
Yeah, well, it's bizarre timing, middle of the season, is it not?
Yeah, it is. It is. And for them to wake up in the morning of a game and find out, I think a few players were a bit disappointed the way that went out.
Yeah, OK. Well, we'll see if a new system can bring them any more wins. We know they are struggling. Sweet or soured, Jamie? Can we keep smiling?
Yeah, you can. We'll bring some happiness into the show. Look, I was lucky enough to go to the SCG and work on Saturday night, and it was just Latrell Mitchell catches the first run and sort of ambled into the line, and I thought, well, he may take a little bit more to get going tonight. His next 6 touches, he produced 2 try assists, scores 2 tries. It was an amazing game, the best game I have ever seen live, in person, working, where a guy just dominated, looked like he was a man amongst boys. And for me, he's up there with the best players in the world. It was just, to see it firsthand, you look at this vision, Chamis, Katie, he was in cruise control. He scored 26 points. Amazing.
And that's the most amount of points in 34 years, I think. But, Jamie, he's 21. Is he the best player in the NRL right now?
He's up there. He's very, very close. I think what holds him back is the fact that he's left centre. If he was a 5'8", a playmaker, I think that discussion, will become a bit more, I guess, heated. But Luke Keary's been in great form. You need someone to pass the ball to you in left centre. I think if he makes the change next year, 2-5-8 and Luke Keary in at half, they what's stopping him from going 3 in a row?
Okay. But what about...
Who's going to beat him this year?
You've got him down. That's it. Premiers this year, do you think?
Well, you'd be the only one in the world that doesn't think...
No, I'm just saying...
They'll be there grand final day. Yeah. It's got, the other 15 clubs are chasing them to play them on grand final day, whether it's an experienced South Sydney or Melbourne Storm. But if Latrell Mitchell can make a successful move into 5'8", he's got all the attributes, running game, can defend well, his kicking game is underrated. I've seen him kick against Manly, he kicked the 40-20 with his first touch. When does this dynasty stop?
Yeah.
It is interesting. Like, Australian media were all talking about the rumours of him potentially leaving in 2 years and maybe he's talking to South Sydney. But why aren't we talking about how brilliant he is when he is in career best form?
Oh, look, that was unbelievable on the weekend, no doubt. But I think the not that there's criticism of Latrell, he's the best centre in the game by a mile. But imagine seeing that more consistently. I know he can't produce that top national level every week, but I think that's the thing that he needs to add to his game. If he can get that, you know, performance every month or so and be his best and worst need to be a lot more in between than they are at the moment. Why are you laughing, Jamie?
He scored 26 points. He had 10 touches, yes, two try assists, three tries, and you want him to do that once a month?
No. That's what I said.
We'd be lucky to see it once a lifetime. We want to see it once a month from Michael Chambers.
His best and worst. His best and worst is two try in between.
Listen, there's times where you want him to get more involved, but that performance right there sets the tone now. So next time he hears have a quiet game, someone can go over to him and go, Latrell, you are the best player in the game. One of the best players. We've got probably the other two in Kiri and Tedesco. We need that from you.
Yes. He can't go missing in games, is what I'm saying. For instance, for him to be, as you were saying earlier, the best player in the game, he can't go missing every game or two, that's all.
I feel like you were blinded by the question, because why are Australian media talking about him leaving when we should be arguing about he is in best form? Why are we filling these back pages, NRL.com included, that there are rumours suggesting he's leaving when he's not off contract. Clubs can't start talking to him until 2020.
Yeah, well, there's rumours all the time, and whether he goes to South Sydney or not, time will tell, but the Roosters won't want to lose him. Mm. And the rumours are there because GI's retired. He was supposed to be there, South Sydney, hoping to come in a bit of money in their cap, and they were after a marquee player. So it makes sense to go after the best in the business, and he's the best centre in the game, potentially best fullback.
I'll answer your question, Katie. We are to blame for the rumours. We just can't help ourselves. We want to be able to talk who's going where next. We just want that big drama cycle, the emotional cycle of what's going to happen next. There is no way Latrell Mitchell will ever leave the Roosters. You can cut this up, you can show it to me if he ever does, and I'll cop the criticism. He's never leaving the Roosters. Nick Politis, Trent Robinson, all those guys, he will never wear another jersey other than Australia and New South Wales or Indigenous.
Well, you were sitting here 6 weeks ago saying, no chance Parramatta will win the wooden spoon, they'll get it for sure. Just going to say.
Okay, well, we should move that one on. But injuries, they just won't go away. Let's get the latest from our all-rounder reporter, Zach Bailey, with the latest.
Thanks, Katie. The Panthers were the hardest hit on the injury front in round 8, and the news isn't good for Isaiah Yeo. There are reports the back rower could be ruled out for the season and needs a shoulder reconstruction, which is a massive blow. The club is also sweating on results from scans on Viliami Kikau's right ankle and knee. The Fijian is hopeful of missing just a few weeks, but we'll have to wait and see. Malachi Watene-Zelezniak is also waiting on results after he was forced off with a rib injury. Raiders forward John Bateman fractured his left eye socket in the same match. The Englishman needs surgery and will be sidelined for 6 to 8 weeks. There's mixed news in on Josh Maguire. The Cowboys will be disappointed to hear he could be missing for up to 3 weeks with a calf strain. That's good news for Queensland Maroons, though, with Origin still more than a month away. Barring injury between now and the series opener, New South Wales back rower Tyson Frizzell should also be right to go for game one. He's been cleared of a serious eye injury, but things are worse for his club teammate Corey Norman. Scans confirm the Dragons playmaker suffered a fractured cheekbone and will undergo surgery tomorrow. The club is still unsure just how long Norman will be out for. Meanwhile, Manly duo Lachlan Croker and Adam Fanua-Blake are still waiting for news on their injuries. Croker said he heard something pop and was forced off with a hamstring injury against the Bulldogs, while Fanua-Blake battled through the pain of a knee injury that required heavy strapping. Unfortunately, Philip Sammy will miss 4 to 6 weeks with an ankle injury. The brave Gold Coast Titans winger battled on against the Cowboys, but it's come at a cost. And I know you guys spoke about it earlier, but we'll have the latest on Andrew McCulloch's knee injury tomorrow on NRL Teams at 3:55pm Eastern Standard Time. So, Katie, make sure you tune in then.
Yeah, thanks, Zachary. Now to David Clemmer, who has literally just got back to Newcastle after touching down from New Zealand. Clemmer, thanks for joining us. Now, congratulations on that win from the Warriors. How good did it feel?
Oh, thanks, guys. It was amazing. Just seeing the spirits of the boys, you know, obviously the last previous to the last 2 weeks, you know, it was pretty, everyone's pretty down in the dumps, and having back-to-back wins and, you know, just seeing all the boys, the confidence, you know, they've got for these last 2 weeks, it's been pretty special.
Dave, there was a lot of talk about Brownie, pressure on him that, you know, this could be it for him, and there were, and a lot of people were saying that he's about to be sacked. And then you turn around with two wins on the trot. What was it like for Brownie, mate? Was he quite rattled by all the talk, or how did he handle all that period there?
No, Brownie, mate, it's rugby league's a funny game, you know. He gave us a game plan to do, and we weren't doing it. As simple as that, you know, we were letting him down, and you know, we just had to go back out, and, you know, we had to look in the mirror and go out there and play some footy. And I think the last round one in the last 2 weeks is where the standards we've set, and we've just got to keep improving it. We can't sit a hat on that and think it's just going to happen. We've got to turn up every week and keep improving as a footy side.
Yeah, Clem, you're exactly right. Talk to me about the opening month of the NRL, because I picked you to actually be in my top four. Do you think the expectation of immediate success happening in the Hunter, they've been wooden spoons, they get a couple of quality players, one of the best front rowers in yourself there. Did the young bloke sort of expect it to happen?
Obviously, the expectation and, you know, obviously, round one, we've got to win, and then we thought it was just going to happen every week like that. And I think we've got a big reality check. You know, it was going to be a long year if we didn't start fixing things. And the confidence as well, confidence was down, and we had to get back on track. But we come in to train, and everyone was coming to train and training hard and trying to improve themselves, and everyone's doing that every week. So if we can keep that up, you know, everyone coming in, putting effort and training hard and wanting to get better as a footy side, you know, we're going to reap the benefits. So, as I said, we can't hang our hat on the last 2 weeks. We've got to keep improving and build more confidence in the squad.
You speak about confidence. How does David Clemmer go and approach Caelan Ponga and Connor Watson, who seem like the two most confident kids I've seen, sort of under 22? How do you go up there and tell them to keep their heads up and to get themselves back into the game?
Oh, mate, I just keep it simple. You know, they're free spirits, these kids, and I just tell them to keep backing themselves. You know, they're always going to make a play, and I'm not believing them. They're outstanding footy players, and I want them to try things and play football, because, you know, that's their strength. They're attacking players, and they can turn the game upside its head. So, yeah, I'll just always keep in the edge. Boys, just keep backing yourself and keep playing footy. That's my message, as always, tell them.
It's great to see, David. Now, we need to look ahead to Magic Round. Of course, you play against the Bulldogs. How does that sit with you? Surely there's still some emotion.
Yeah, it's going to be different when I'm running out and I'm standing in the opposite of the Bulldogs jersey. It's going to be it's going to be weird. So, I know it's going to be a great weekend of footy, and funny enough, it falls against my former side, so it's going to be a great week, and I can't wait to get out there.
Dave, how do you feel about how you left the club, mate? I know you've had a little time now to let it sink in. How do you feel about the way that it was all handled, and obviously leaving the club in such abrupt circumstances at the end of last year?
I've said it, you know, obviously things happen in footy, and unfortunately my time had come, and I tried the best to leave on mutual terms, and I hope I've left the club in a good way. And I know it was very disappointing for my family, but it was pretty hard time. But that's how things go now in rugby league, and it's going to be I think I'll be pretty nervous this week.
Are you glad or disappointed that you're playing up at Suncorp? I imagine you're a fiery kind of guy. You would have liked the opportunity to maybe play him at Belmore. Not that you probably would have taken the kids along to something like that. Are you disappointed or happy that it's come up at Magic Round?
Well, mate, this is a game of footy, and I'm pretty excited to play. You know, I can't wait to see all the games at Suncorp and all the teams in there playing on the same field, and I think it'll be pretty cool. So, funny enough, it falls on a Doggies game, and we'll see how many people we can get there.
Well, David, thank you so much for joining us on Inside the NRL. We'll make sure we watch that one 3 p.m. on Saturday when you take on your old club. And for your sake, we'll hope you get one up on the Dogs. But thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
All right, next up, one of David Clemmer's very good mates, Aaron Woods, catches up with Michael Chamis a little earlier today.
Well, Aaron, thanks for joining us on Inside the NRL. It's been 4 weeks since you fractured your foot. How are you coming along at this stage, mate?
Yeah, look, it's been pretty slow, Mick. It's pretty much non-weight-bearing for the first 5 weeks. So I've got one more week on crutches, and then, you know, the process, the healing process is a lot quicker from there. They just said the first 5 weeks is the toughest part, and how you look after it there is how quick you can come back. So the injury ranges from anywhere from 8 to 12 weeks. So hopefully we get on top of it and get back as soon as possible.
I imagine it's frustrating given, you know, the form you finished last year with and then coming back this year and starting the season well. How frustrating was it given, you know, the uncertainty and the unsettled nature of last season?
Yeah, I'm settled now. So that was probably the thing that made my footy a lot easier. But like I said, it's probably frustrating that you're not get to be out there with the boys. You know, I hate watching games and, you know, I hate missing out on training, just being around the boys all the time. You know, we're in rehab squad. You know, we have got a decent rehab squad at the moment with Wado, Shawnee Johnson and Matty Moylan, but you don't want to be in that for too long. So look, it's been quite frustrating just to sit there and not be able to walk, but on the other side, it was really good to watch the boys get a really good win against Melbourne on the weekend.
There's a little shortage in the New South Wales big men. I know you were left out of the team last year, and that, you know, that hurt you. But the fact is, you would have been back in contention for this season. How much does that hurt that you're not going to be playing Origin?
Oh, look, you know, obviously playing Origin is a massive goal. You know, it was disappointing to miss out last year, but my form didn't warrant it. You know, I was playing some, you know, okay footy at Canterbury. Then, you know, things happened, and I was lucky enough to get a move down to Cronulla, and I've really enjoyed it down here. So it's just been good to be playing some footy, being happy again, you know, not worrying about too many other things and just going out there and playing myself. So I think that's what's really helped get the form back. And like you said, it was just, you know, it's unlucky with the timing of the injury, but, you know, we've got really good medical staff down here. You know, it's probably frustrating that you do miss out on an Origin series, but you've got to look after the body for the back end of the season now.
How long has it been since you've been happy, mate, since you started the field enjoying footy?
Oh, look, it was pretty much instant, I think. Once I come down here, we don't get too much media down at the Sharks. You know, you just come out, and Flano was really good with me there. He just said he just wants me to play footy and just worry about doing my own job, get back to doing what I do best and, you know, running hard, quick play the balls and making your tackles. So it was pretty much from the get-go.
What about your relationship with John Morris? You guys are quite close. You go way back?
Yeah, Bomber, I had him at school at Holy Cross, and then I did the first couple of pre-seasons at the Tigers with him, and I think I played a couple of trial games, but never played any first grade with him. But, mate, I love him. He's a champion. And I was very sad to see Flano go, because he gave me the opportunity to come here. But, you know, to get someone that has worked under Flano for a couple of years and to know the systems in Johnny Morris, it was pretty lucky. So I'm just still loving and enjoying my footy.
What's this team's realistic goal? With these injuries, when they're all backfiring, what do you expect from the Sharks in 2020?
Our goal is obviously definitely top four. We just need to be consistent. I think at the moment we're 4-4, so it's one win, one loss, one win, one loss, you know, just keeps repeating. So I think the biggest thing for us at the moment is consistency. You know, we had a good performance against Melbourne, but we need to back it up again. You know, we can't go out against the Titans and let it all slip and go out there and play bad. You know, we need a massive performance Thursday night, because, you know, this can really set up your season. You know, we've got a few players out, but the boys that are in there are doing a really good job, and everyone's stepped up and it's putting pressure on everyone now. So it's a massive, massive task for us to go up there, especially, you know, it's a away game, but it's Magic Round, so everyone's going to be pumped up. But we need to get the 2 points this week.
Now, you know all too well the feeling of playing against your old club. Now, big David Clemmer, your friend, takes on the Bulldogs this week. What do you think that'll be like for him?
Oh, look, I think it's probably better for Dave that it's not at home. I think it's the Bulldogs' home game, but it's up at Suncorp with Magic Round. So the atmosphere won't be as ferocious as what it would be if it was at a Belmore Stadium. So, look, he will enjoy it. You know, big Dave, I reckon he'll have probably his best game of the year and best game for Newcastle this week, because I know the big fellas, he definitely penciled it in. You pretend you don't want to, you don't look at it, but I'm telling you, when I left the Tigers, you sort of see when you play against them, and, you know, when I left the Sharks, when you play against the Bulldogs. So, mate, it's definitely one that he'll be up for, and I know he'll be really excited for it.
All right, Aaron, well, thanks for your time Inside the NRL. When do we see you back?
Hopefully soon, mate. The aim is round 15 against the Dogs, so, you know, hopefully it all goes well.
Well, I bet it can't come soon enough for Aaron Woods. And like he said, he's expecting David Clemmer to have his biggest game this weekend at Magic Round, which leads me to Magic Round, gents. It's going to be absolutely sensational. Sharks-Titans kick off the action Thursday night. Tickets are only $10 and it actually goes to the charity of your choice, which I think is amazing. But what is your game of the Magic Round?
Oh, look, I know what you're going to say, so I'm going to have to be a little bit different, but I'm going to go to the Broncos-Seagulls. I know it's not the biggest two teams, the highest two teams, but I think just the ramifications for Brisbane, this is going to be enormous. If they don't win this week, that season over, and given the changes that Anthony Seibold's made over the last 24 hours, I'm going to go that game.
Season over?
Yeah, they lose this weekend, that's their season over.
It's a big call. Maybe we'll make sure we'll put that one on record and we'll talk about that if they do make the top eight. Jamie, what about for you? Who have you got and why?
I think the Roosters-Raiders, for this fact, the Raiders have been outstanding this year. I want to see how they go against a real heavyweight. Last time they played the Storm, a top four side, they struggled and they lost at home. So I want to see how they bounce back defensively against a top team in the Roosters.
Okay. And for me... I don't need to be asked. I'll just quickly let you know.
Who's yours, Katie?
Okay. Let me get to it. Storm and Eels. I think that's going to be sensational. Craig Bellamy spoke earlier in the week, said he's happy to drop players and bring in some young ones. As for the Eels, can they perform at home? Not sure. They can perform at home, but can they perform away? We'll see if they can perform well at Suncorp Stadium. So make sure if you do want to buy tickets, head to nrl.com/tickets because there are still a few on sale. Now let's get to hit or miss. All right. First one. James Maloney's suspension is a blessing for the Panthers. Hit or miss. Let's start with you, Michael.
Oh, look, I think he'll be fighting from what I understand tomorrow at the judiciary. So I think it gives them opportunity to just have a look at Jerome Luai again. He was tremendous when he played last year. I think they get a look at Luai, Cleary. Obviously, that's their future halves pairing. I think it might give them something to look forward to in the future. I know James Maloney's trying his guts out, but something's not going right there. And I think some time away gives Penrith a new look.
So hit.
Hit?
Yeah,
I was supposed to say
just
that.
Just making sure, yeah. Miss for me. I think when you're in trouble, you need your experienced guys out there, and James Maloney can go out and win you a game. So, big occasion. He steps up. He's been in those big games. Backs against the wall. Miss.
Okay. Sorry, have you voted?
I just want to ask a question. If Penrith know, and I'm not saying James Maloney's definitely going, if Penrith know he's going, do you start playing Jerome Luai now, knowing that this is his last year?
I don't think you can disrespect James Maloney and make him finish a year.
Because you were in a similar situation right at Penrith.
Yeah, I was a little bit different. I had a stinker year in 15, 16. I'd fought my way back. I probably deserved another chance, I thought. But, yeah, they wanted to move on with Nathan. They had the young gun there and they moved on and got to the second week of the finals. Whether that would have happened if I'd stuck around, I'd never know. But I think James Maloney deserves the respect to at least finish this season out, see what he can do, and then make a decision at the end of the year.
Okay. Question two. If Manly gets fit by the bye, which is round 15, they will play finals. Hit or miss, Jamie? Got
well,
to your top eight?
No, I don't. I didn't, sorry. I had them down the bottom, actually. I'm sorry, I've been on fire this year. Para as well. I like this one. I think that Manly, just on the weekend, that was a game that they could have lost. They had excuses. Every week they've had excuses with no Turbo. He comes back in, they win, then they next week, you know, he's out again. So I think that's a hit. If they get fit, this could be a dangerous side. And Jemis, I never understood the whole we need to get Manly back in Manly and all this kind of stuff. I thought you just got the best person for the job. But whatever Manly back in Manly means, Des Hasler's got it because they are defending and playing for each other. And he's getting more out of his squad than what they got last year.
Well, and to be fair to Des, it's probably a squad that's probably more depleted than what Trent Barrett had last year, to be fair. So I think he's done a tremendous job in his first 8 weeks. Des there, I think they will, especially Tommy. If Tom comes back fit and he's able to play at his best, given that he's had some hamstring problems, I think they will. I think they'll play finals football.
So both a hit?
Yeah.
Both a hit. And I saw Ben Trbojevic in the finals on the weekend at Bankwest.
Mm.
He may be the best Trbojevic of the lot.
We've heard.
He is a gun.
Gosh, okay, that's exciting. Question three, Warriors have bigger issues than filling their halfback jersey. Hit or miss, Jamie?
Yeah, hit. I know you want Cody Nikorima in your side. He's a fantastic player, a utility player in and around that halves. But for me, there's some more problems going on with the Warriors. You start the year... They've got Chanel Harris-DeVita there. They've got Adam Kieran. Those two guys' confidence would be shot right now. Mm. You know, they've come in. Chanel Harris-DeVita's been pretty good coming into a side that's been struggling. They've got rep players everywhere, but they just haven't been able to put it all together. So I think that's a hit for me. They've got bigger issues.
Yeah, I think so. And I don't think Cody Nikorima solves their problems as well. Newcastle were very smart. I think David Clemmer touched on it earlier. They tried to keep the ball away from Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, and I think he ran less than 100 metres for the first time in a long time in his career. We don't see that from him. I think the least he ran was like 160 metres this year. So they did a good job there. I think they're in all sorts of the Warriors. I think they're going to regret, if they haven't already, letting go of Sean Johnson.
Yeah, OK. Question four. There's a storm brewing in Melbourne. That's, of course, we're talking about Craig Bellamy switching in and out players. Let's take a listen to what he had to say after their loss to the Sharks.
At the end of the day, you know, it doesn't matter who you play against, where you play against them at, you know you're going to get a tough game in the NRL, you know, and that's one thing that I think we've been pretty strong at over the years. But the last couple of weeks, I'm starting to doubt that this group has got that, and we better find it or I'll be finding some new players.
Well, there's problems in paradise. Hit or miss, Jamie?
Yeah, I think it's a hit. You watch the Melbourne Storm this year. They've been in some tight games they probably shouldn't won, but I guess their reputation has scared the other team out from winning. You look at that Bulldogs game. No one gave the Bulldogs a chance that week. They win pretty much on the buzzer. That last week, Anzac Day, 13-12, North Queensland, they got out of jail. And he's just probably fed up with the fact that they're making so many mistakes week after week, putting themselves in positions where they have to fight right to the last minute. And they couldn't get out of jail against the Cronulla side that played really well. So I think Craig Bellamy's on the money there.
Yeah,
hit for me. I've spoken to a number of people at the club the last 2 or 3 weeks, and every time you speak to them, they're not happy with the way they've been playing. I say they're flying, you're 6 from 7 at the start of the year, but they're not. They're saying, no, well, we're not actually happy with that. And obviously Curtis Scott was dropped a few weeks ago. I just wonder, Jamie, is Bellamy's expectations higher than what they should be, given, you know, they lost Cooper Cronk a couple of years ago, they lose Billy last year. Is he expecting too much from this group? He's expecting them to win another comp.
Well, why do you play the game? You play the game to win. So I think his expectations and the standards they have down in Melbourne is why they've been the elite club, along with the Roosters, the last 15 years. Yeah, you know, they've contested the bulk of the grand final. So for a lot of those guys, like Sofa Solomona, Bromwich, the forward pack hasn't changed much. They've got a few more younger guys. Billy Slater's a huge loss, Cooper Cronk, yes, but no one expected them to get the grand final last year. This would be their fourth grand final in a row if they were to make it. They've still got the best player in the game in Cam Smith, so his expectations are to win.
Origin will be a huge test for him this year. They'll really feel that.
Yeah.
And around that rep period, they have a lot of guys that are going to be involved in test matches as well for, obviously, Samoa and Tonga and whatever else other nationalities they have there. So, yeah, it's going to be
interesting,
a big test.
All right, final one. The NRL should look at an 18th man for concussion. Now, this obviously came up because Garth Brennan lost two of his players in the match and then lost Philip Sammy, who was forced to stay on because they'd used all the interchange. Hit or miss?
Yeah, hit. I think if you've got an independent doctor that can test, I mean, I know what my counterpart, Michael Chamis, is going to say next, that the teams will take advantage of it. But if you've got an independent doctor there, that if they fail the test, and you can bring on that 18th man, whether it costs you an extra change or whatever like that, I think you've got to have it, because we're seeing too many guys. The game's more physical than ever. There's more athletes that are bigger, faster, stronger every year. I think you need an 18th man.
Coaches will exploit it. It'll happen. It's inevitable. But I think if you have, just say, a six-man bench, keep the same interchange as it is, but you can only use four, and then you need to be strategic about the way you handle it. So if you've got a halfback on the bench, you keep them there and you don't use up interchanges for the sake of it. And just in case you do get those HIAs, I think they need to introduce something like that, so that, like soccer, you've got a six or whatever man bench and then you only use a certain amount of players.
The question was, should the NRL look at an 18th man? You want a 19th man as well.
Yeah, 19. Have 20 if you want. But if you can only use four, regardless.
You lost me when you said 19 man. I have no idea where you've gone.
So you wanted to change the 8 interchange to 6 and then you can only use 4.
No, leave interchanges.
I'll leave it
8. He's answered 8 questions in one.
I'm giving you what you need to hear.
I'm really overwhelmed. So is that a hit or a miss?
Yeah. I've confused myself here. It's a hit.
Okay.
19 men.
Are you part of the next segment, Champ or Chump? Or?
I think I am the Chump.
Just replay that 30
no,
seconds.
No, never. We wouldn't replace you with anyone else, Michael Chamis. All right, let's get to it. Champ or Chump, first one. Reid Marnie and Latrell Mitchell flying high in round 8. Have we seen something like it? Let's take a look. So Boyd Cordner scores a try. What's happening in the corner?
Well, I thought Latrell Mitchell was going for four, and then he realised that Cordner snaked him. So
how goes that?
He's just gone. Honestly, he was just a kid having fun. Everyone diving. Mika Sivo, that was awesome. Reid Marnie.
Watch this.
Oh.
Was there something in the air, gents?
I don't know. Well, if they were, they're probably trying to get it. But
the best part of all time was the man we had on earlier, Aaron Woods in Origin. Remember that? Dove on top of Michael Jennings. That was one of the greats.
But I'll tell you what happens. Scoring a try is the most exciting part of the game, right? Celebrating is the best part.
So champ or chump for both of you?
Champ. Awesome.
Nice. Yeah. All right.
I can't believe we didn't have the Gutho. King Gutho.
We're starting to see some more post-try celebrations.
It was pretty hard. I mean, it's pretty hard. We had Gutho with his like new dance move, and we also had Blake Ferguson who did the backflip. There was plenty to choose.
Tribute to GI with the Goannas.
Yeah, we only come up with that.
Because Goannas, like,
some more research,
Thursday
Katie.
Night. It feels like so long ago. Sorry.
Well, hopefully we see more in Magic Round, Katie. Yeah. I love the post-try celebrations. Bring them back.
Yeah,
coaches hate them. Players love them.
Love it as well. All right, the last one, Cameron Munster. We did see him play a prank on coach Craig Bellamy in the plane. Look, did that one come back to bite him or what?
No, that's...
Is that just fun?
That's hilarious. That is hilarious. The fact that Cam Munster's felt that comfortable to do that to Craig Bellamy. Look, they can't all be robots. He's having a little bit of fun.
That's
I
great.
Think that Craig, you know, would probably laugh at it, but then... You don't relate it back to footy. That's completely different. That's a bit of fun.
Well, if he's dropped this week, we'll know why.
He won't be dropped.
Champ?
Champ, of course.
Yep.
Legend.
Champ, yep.
Okay, everyone's a champ this week. Fantastic. Let's get your power rankings, please, before we go.
Yeah, power rankings. For the first time in a while, team, the Melbourne Storm have dropped out of the five. The big movers have been the Parramatta Eels and the Canberra Raiders. They're in the top four. I had no idea I'd be saying that at the start of the year at all, but they've been outstanding to start the year. And those scenes at Bank West, if you haven't, do yourself a favour, make your way to Bank West, watch a game, any kind of game there, because it is absolutely fantastic. Facilities are second to none, and amazing scenes yesterday, Dragons Eels.
Yeah, I feel like it's fantastic.
They could have every game there and I'd go.
We cannot talk it up enough.
Yeah.
Great. Hashtag talk up the game, right? Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in. Now, as Zach mentioned a little earlier, he is back tomorrow at 3:55 with NRL team. So tune in with Brett Camorley and Jeff Tuvey. Until next Monday, have a good one.